Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good middle of the night, and welcome to Cases of Color. Hi, you guys. First of all, I'm just going to get into it very, very quickly. I'm your host, Randy Baum, and most importantly, I literally tried to record multiple times, and because I was recovering from a very nasty cold, I literally sounded like cats dying on the microphone. I still sound kind of raspy, which I'm very sorry for, but here I am. Also, there'll be an episode on Saturday, the 28th, and there will be an episode on New Year's Eve. I'm so excited to bring you guys some really awesome content. This is just a bonus Christmas episode. I wanted to talk about something that we all kind of need to put on our radar. And I think also something we need to address as a culture, because I know that even though we can be open-minded in kind of who we discern as a victim, I feel like there's a certain demographic that doesn't get as much attention as they deserve or doesn't get viewed the way I feel that they deserve to be viewed. And that for me would be sex workers. And that's why I want to talk about the case of Crystal Kizer. If you have not heard about Crystal Kizer, we're going to talk all about it, and I'm going to give a lot of my thoughts. I really want to hear what you guys have to say. I want to hear y'all's thoughts and opinions. How do you feel about sex workers and human trafficking and other things like that? I just really want us to get into it and really discuss it. I feel like this case, and this has been said all over the media for some people who've talked about it, is very Santoya Brown. That's the vibe it gives me. And it really makes me sad looking at photos of this girl in handcuffs and in a blue jumpsuit. And it just really breaks my heart to see her like this because ultimately, in my eyes, she's a victim. But before I spoil too much, I really, really, really want to just get into the whole case itself. So Crystal Kizer was 16 years old, a child, when she met a 33-year-old man named Randy Villar. Now, Villar sexually abused Crystal multiple times, and he even filmed it. I do not want to use the word consensual sex when it comes to talking about a minor. Ultimately, she was a child. He was an adult and also a perverted man as well. So I just want to be abundantly clear. There will be no point in time where I will call anything that he did with this girl consensual. And she wasn't the only person who he did this to. In February of 2018, he was actually arrested for a child sexual assault. He also was found to have videotapes of him having sex with multiple girls, all underage black girls, about a dozen of them, by the way. And he was let out even after they found these videos of him sexually abusing about a dozen underage black girls, raping and assaulting underage black girls. So here's a little bit of background on her case. Crystal knew him at first by the certain accounts that I've read about. He was very nice to her. He gave her a lot of gifts. Apparently, he met her on an escort site. So their initial meetings were not technically rape. She knew that he wanted to meet up with her. She met up with him willingly. He gave her gifts. He was very nice to her. But apparently it got to a point where when she tried to stop seeing him, he got really violent and would literally told her that he would kill her if she ever tried to leave him and get away from him. So let's get into this case and kind of deep dive as to everything that happened. So how Crystal ended up being caught is, I guess, a neighbor of Randy Villar, which is the pedophile who was murdered. She looked out her window and she saw that a house was on fire, and it was his house. So she called 911. She said, a house is burning, it's on fire. The dispatcher asked if anyone was in the house, to which, you know, she responded, I have no idea. And not within but a few minutes, the police arrived and they found a really badly charred body, which happened to be Randy Villar's body, with two gunshot wounds in his head. And they said that earlier that year that the house was involved in something involving a runaway child. And they didn't know the details, but they just knew that the person who was there had been implicated in other things. And they looked around for evidence. They found, you know, alcohol, pizza in the fridge. And they also showed that he paid for an Uber from Milwaukee to his home. And the Uber driver told the police he had given a ride to a short black girl named Crystal, which we find out is our Crystal Kaiser. Neighbors reported that, you know, they usually saw his BMW, that his BMW was gone. And when they went to a Family Dollar store to see the security footage, they saw that there were some teenagers who had driven the BMW. So they were able to kind of trace things back very easily. This wasn't like some in-depth planned out crime or anything like that. It was just very much, you know, it's very much a situation where this girl, you know, made a decision to do what she needed to do. And police started looking into Crystal, and once they were able to get her name, and what they found is her Facebook page. It had a bunch of pictures of her. She's a tall, very skinny girl. You know, she used to wear colorful hair and things like that. And she loved to post pictures, which is not very uncommon for teenagers these days. And on the night of the fire, she actually posted a selfie around 3:10 in the morning. And behind her in the photo, which kind of was a dead giveaway, were curtains. And those curtains were recognized from being curtains at Mr. Villar's house. That's the pedophile. And the caption on the photo said, "My mugshot." So 3 days later, Crystal live streamed on her Facebook and she talked about giving her brother a BMW. Obviously, the BMW from Randy Villar's house. Also, she talked about having a gun, and she had a 20-year-old boyfriend at the time. His name was Delane Nelson, and she said, "I don't want to shoot anybody else." And once the police saw that, it was a wrap. So they literally drove over to Delane Nelson's house, which was Crystal's boyfriend at the time. And what they did is they literally used a battering ram to get into Nelson's front door, and they found Crystal inside the house. They put zip ties around her wrist and removed her from the home, and from then on, her bail was set at $1 million, something that she obviously is not able to pay. So she's been there since she was 17 years old. And when they looked into Crystal and they were gathering information about the person she murdered, they realized, you know, that he lived alone in his house, that, you know, he was self-employed, he, you know, had been born with missing fingers and toes and a right leg shorter than the left, and his parents divorced in 2009. He's just like, just not one of what I would say would be society's favorable people, on top of the fact that he was a pedophile. And the biggest thing is they needed to know more about Crystal and his connection, because at this point in time, they didn't really know what the connection was between them at all. Sometimes he would go into the city to find young girls, and he was actually arrested before he was murdered. He was arrested for child enticement, using a computer to facilitate a child sex crime, and second degree assault of a child, a felony, by the way, which is punishable up to 40 years in state prison, which does not make sense to me, because I feel like if you're committing crimes against children, you should be under the jail. But that's just me. The reason why he was released is because he didn't even have a bail. Like, typically they'll put a bail on somebody who's wealthy. They didn't even put bail on him. So they released him. They arrested him and then released him. This man had a bank account that had up to $1.5 million of wire transfers for the videos that he was making and obviously selling and distributing somewhere online for these disgusting ass pedophiles. And He was supposed to be summoned to court, but he never was. So the police were aware of what he was doing, but they never, ever, ever summoned him to court. What the hell? Like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. So, yes, he spent money on a criminal defense attorney, but 3 months went by and no one said anything. They literally have proof of him having hundreds of child pornography videos featuring girls who appeared to be as young as 12, and more than 20 home videos of him with underage black girls. And he was not taken into custody. There was no sex crime case that was entered into the Wisconsin court system. Yes, you heard it correctly. So they literally found all these things, knew all these things, never summoned him back to court, released him on the same day. No freaking issue. Makes me sick. Like, makes me sick. Okay. The police had tracked down girls in his videos as well, and they describe most of them in depth, and they were mid-teens, early teens. And they thought one at the time that they found her was 13 or 14, and they thought maybe one might be as young as 12. Enough about this pedophile. Now I want to talk about Crystal. Crystal was a really lovely girl. She, you know, was very close to her mother, even though they had some hard times. Her mom was 16 years old when she had Crystal. So her mom was kind of, you know, did what she needed to do. And Crystal, by all accounts, was a really good kid. She, you know, was very into playing the violin, but her mom couldn't afford it. And, you know, she paid it off little by little so that Crystal could practice. And Crystal loved playing the violin. She loves talking about music, and she describes herself as a musician. So even though she had a rough childhood, she really, 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 really poured herself into her music. And when things started kind of taking a turn for worse is when her mother's boyfriend started to get very violent. He literally would not just beat on the mother, but also would beat on the children, Crystal included. And, you know, it just took her, it took a big toll on her. And, you know, her mom would have to call the police. Crystal was the oldest, so she was always getting her brothers and sisters away. And it's basically just, you know, as Crystal said, they would take him and tell him to leave, but he would always come back. And it was just very hard for Crystal to deal with that. She lived in a shelter at one point in time with her kids, and, you know, she just really was dealing with a lot. Crystal started skipping school, you know, hanging with Delane Nelson, which was her 20-year-old boyfriend at the time. You know, her brother was stealing cars. It was just, it, everything was just unraveling and getting out of hand, and kind of the perfect situation for something like this to happen, unfortunately. And what happened is, you know, Crystal posted herself onto Backpage. She did it because she needed money for snacks and school notebooks, and a girl she knew at school showed her how to use the website. And Randy Volar was the first person to respond. She was 16, but she told him she was 19 at first. And, you know, she said that she was really nervous to meet with him, but then eventually she told him okay. And then once she met with him initially, it got to a point where she met with him about every other week. And she said that he was always really nice to her and, you know, took her on dates and, you know, took her out to eat food and, you know, got her a phone and let her drive his car. And he just was, you know, giving her everything. Again, that material manipulation. And, you know, she would lie about where she was getting money from because the people around her started to ask and they started to question. And even though she said that she knew that him having sex with her was wrong because she was a child, he was the only person that she had at the time in her life that was a constant and that treated her really good. And there was one point in time where even though she lied about her age, Valar actually invited her to his house to celebrate her 17th birthday. So he was very well aware that she was not of age, that she was not a legal consenting adult. He knew that she was a child. And there were times where she was arrested and other things like that. And Valar would pay her bond. He was very much a financial placeholder for this girl, Crystal. He made clear what, you know, he wanted from her in return, what he expected her to do. And even though she said no, you know, he was very much, well, you owe me. Like, I did this for you. You're supposed to do this for me. And there came a point where she tried to remove him from her life. She moved in with her boyfriend. She, you know, said that she wanted to just get serious in her relationship. She wanted to see him. But he started to say, you know, that he was going to kill her. Like, if she stopped seeing him, that he would kill her. And she never told anybody. She didn't call the police. And the saddest thing that I read is that she said, you know, the police didn't help my mom. Why would they help me? Kind of thing. And it just really broke my heart. Because that's all she'd ever seen is my mom calls the police. Nothing happens. You know, he always comes back. I'm sure nothing will happen to this man. Who am I? Who is he? Type of thing. And she kind of did what she quote unquote needed to do, which is continue to see him. In her eyes, it was a form of self-preservation. And Crystal, after she was confronted about the videos and everything else, she said that, you know, I didn't know that there were other girls, and I didn't know that he even filmed me. She was also in those films that were found, and it wasn't even discovered that it was her or looked further into until after this man was killed. Because like I said, they literally found all of these things and didn't pursue it any further, which I promise you all I'm going to unpack in a moment, because the more I find out about this case, the sicker it makes me. Eventually, Valar put himself in a position to become a pimp for Crystal, where she would literally go to Backpage and post ads. He would take her to different hotels in Milwaukee where older men would spend about 30 minutes with her. And basically she would have to give him the money that she earned. And sometimes he would even arrange for her to meet with more than one man in a day. So he got to a point where it wasn't just him sexually violating her. He was pimping her out to be sexually violated as a 17-year-old child. And he literally would told her, like, get the money first and then text me once you're finished. And he was pimping her out. He was literally pimping her out. The more I read about this, it's heartbroken. It's heartbreaking because you look at this young girl and you realize that nobody really cared. And it just breaks my heart because this child was used, manipulated, assaulted, and pimped out. And they're literally trying to sentence her to life for killing this man. And if you really think long and hard about it, can you blame her? And this is not a matter of should we take people's lives or should we not. This is a matter of empathy. Can I understand why you would feel compelled to take this person's life? Can I understand why you would feel that this is the right thing to do, that this is all you can do? Can I empathize why, even if she did premeditate it, can I blame her for that? Does that seem like something unrealistic? This adult took advantage of her, sexually assaulted her multiple times, was filming her, and she didn't even know it. On top of the fact that this man was also pimping her out. It went from just his own personal disgusting acts with her to him pimping her out. It's nuts, you guys. It's nuts. It's nuts. It literally makes me sick. It makes my blood boil. And I want to get on the Kenosha police for a moment as well. Let me call you bastards out. The fact that you all found all these videos with these underage black girls on it and you didn't do shit about it, y'all are garbage. I try to minimize my amount of cussing on this podcast, but this really pisses me off. Y'all are fucking garbage. You mean to tell me that you found out this man was using cryptocurrency, private browsers, encrypted browsers, searching on the dark web? You found hundreds of child pornography videos, over 20 personally made videos with girls who you could clearly tell were children, some as young as 12, that he had filmed, to include this young girl that killed him. And y'all just let this man out. You didn't even set a bond. You didn't even move the case to sex crimes. This man was never even summoned to court. He did not even have a pending court date, you guys. They didn't even look further into these videos until after his ass was murdered to see if maybe one of the faces that they were looking for was the person that killed them. So not the fact that he was sexually assaulting, sex trafficking, and pimping out children and selling videos of him violating them on the internet for up to $1.5 million, which is how much in electronic transfers he had received, which literally mimicked what a fucking sex trafficker does, by the way. I would like to add that out there. Nope, that was not enough. That was not enough. But his ass gets murdered. And now let's look into those videos. Oh man, we just so happened to forget to summon him back to court. Oh, we didn't even put him on bond. Blah, 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 fucking blah. So you mean to tell me that if it's some little black girls, it just really doesn't matter to you guys. It really does not matter. Kenosha Police, you're fucking garbage. Because it didn't matter. Because let that have been some little white girls on videotape. And I hate to go there, but it's just the facts. It's just the facts. It's the same thing. Like with this R. Kelly shit. Oh, being fast. Out here being fast. Out here being this, that, and the third. No, this is a little black girl. I'm not dehumanizing a child. I'm not looking at a child who didn't have the guidance, didn't have the resources, didn't have the means to be in a better situation. I'm not judging a child for thinking like a child and being on somebody by any means necessary and ending up in a situation that she didn't need to be in because she felt that that was her way of survival. We have to stop adulting black girls and not allowing them to be girls and children and not instead focusing on the adults who took advantage of them. Honestly, the man deserved to be dead. Rightfully so, killed by one of his victims. Because you literally violated not just Crystal Kizer, but multiple girls. And no one cared. And I say that because they found it. He was arrested for it. And he was released. And he had no pending court date. He was never, ever put on a bond. Ever. Because the faces in those videos didn't look like the type of little girl that you care about in the United States of America. And that's my problem. I don't think this girl should face life in prison. I'm not going to say she didn't premeditate it. I'm not going to say she didn't plan it. What I am going to say is the world is down one less pedophile. And I don't care how heartless that sounds. It is what it is. You don't get to victimize children and get to continue to breathe air with the rest of us. That's not how that works. I don't feel bad for this man. I don't. I feel bad for this child who is literally shackled and sitting in a courtroom waiting to find out if she's going to be sentenced to life in prison for killing someone who was sex trafficking her, who is a fucking pedophile and was raping and assaulting her. That's what I'm hurt about. That's what I care about. And that's what the Kenosha police did not care about. Because if they would have found this and did something about it, as they should have, this man probably wouldn't have been murdered. He would probably be on trial. He would probably be getting ready to serve 40 years in prison for all that shit he had up in his house. Instead, he's dead. And now the young girl that killed him is possibly going to have life in prison. How is that justice? It's not justice. Honestly, it's despicable. And this is why I do the shit that I do. I know I say that in multiple podcasts, but I'm going to say it again. This is why I do what I do. To bring attention. So if you haven't heard about this case, I need you to look it up. If you live in the state of Wisconsin, write your senators, your governors, whomever. Reach out to the people you need to reach out to. This is bullshit. On that note, thank you so much for listening to me talk about Crystal Kizer. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. If you are not following me on Twitter and Instagram, what are you doing? It's at Cases of Color on Twitter and at Cases of Color on Instagram. I make a post about every single episode and I invite all of you to comment underneath and leave your thoughts and opinions about the case, your own theories about the case, information that you have. I'm all good for differing opinions. All I ask is that we give respectful opinions. So I love you all. Look forward to all the great content coming right before the new year and have an amazing day, evening, morning, or afternoon.